This is MSCI Perspectives, your source for insights for global investors and access to research and expertise from across the investment industry. I'm your host, Adam Bass, and today is February 27, 2025. On today's episode, we're diving into a topic that has dominated economic headlines, tariffs, as well as their potential impact on inflation, interest rates, and, of course, what it all means for investors. Now, tariffs are often discussed in the context of trade wars and political maneuvering, but they also have profound implications for financial markets. How might the latest tariff proposals influence global supply chains, corporate revenues, or investor portfolios? Could they add to inflationary pressures just at the time that central banks are considering rate cuts? And what about the US dollar? Will tariffs strengthen or weaken the world's reserve currency? To help us answer these questions, I sat down with two experts from MSCI. Thomas Verbrocken from MSCI's analytics research team specializes in scenario analysis and stress testing. Also joining us in the conversation is Abhishek Gupta from the equity investing research team, who brings deep insights into corporate revenue exposures and the impact of policy shifts across sectors. Together, we discussed how tariffs fit into the broader macroeconomic picture and what investors will be watching for in 2025. Let's get started. Okay, let's jump straight to it, guys. Abhishek, if I can start with you, can you provide a high-level overview to get us started of some of the tariff proposals that have already been implemented or are being discussed still? And how do these compare with past tariff regimes?
Over the past few months, we have seen several significant tariff proposals emerge. There have been talks about universal tariffs, which, if implemented, would be applied across all countries that are exporting into the U.S. There have also been talks about elevated tariffs with key trading partners such as China, Canada, and Mexico. And more recently, there's been this concept of reciprocal tariffs that is gaining traction, which is to impose equivalent duties on countries that are taxing U.S. imports. And beyond these broader measures, there have also been discussions about product-specific tariffs across specific industries such as steel, aluminum, auto, pharma, and chips. Now, comparing tariffs to past regimes isn't really all that straightforward, as there are so many factors that actually come into play. For instance, there's the starting level of the tariffs, the magnitude by which the tariffs are expected to increase, the share of the trade that they cover, and then what is the overall economic significance of that trade. So while the current proposed tariff rates, they may be lower compared to past protectionist periods, the impact could still be substantial. And one key reason for that is that global trade now accounts for a much larger share of global GDP than in previous tariff-heavy eras, meaning that even modest increases in trade barriers could have widespread economic effects.
You recently wrote a blog post called "Higher Tariffs Ahead, Who's Most at Risk?" And in it, you rightly suggest that tariffs are rarely a one-sided transaction. So what might be the investment implications of so-called retaliatory tariffs?
Yeah, so if US were to impose tariffs on these different countries, we've already heard from many different administrations that they could very much impose counter tariffs. So it's very much a two-way street. I think it just essentially exposes some of these companies within the US that are deriving a significant proportion of their revenues from other countries to this counter tariff.
Now, Thomas, I'd like to bring you in here if we could. Inflation has been a growing concern, as we all know, not just among investors, but pretty much for anybody who's buying anything. So how do tariffs typically affect inflation? And then let's look specifically on the impact that the latest proposals might have.
And speaking about inflation, that's also maybe one of the big differences with the previous or the first term of President Trump, when the economic environment was completely different. So then pre-pandemic inflation was not elevated, was not as big as a concern. So it was, so to say, less of a threat that the tariffs could pose then. Now, back to today. So let's think a bit through how tariffs may affect inflation. So when the U.S. imposes a tariff, it's the U.S. business that pays the import tax to the U.S. government, right? But of course, the economic burden could fall on others than that business, which is effectively paying the tax. So it could be that either foreign firms will decrease their prices and absorb some of the tariff costs, or the U.S. firm could pass on the tariffs to end consumers by raising prices. Now, if the latter happens, then we see a one-off increase in prices as companies are passing on the tariff cost to consumers. It seems like in the first term of President Trump, many companies were absorbing the immediate tariff costs through lowering their profit margins. So that's, I think, also an important difference. But some argue that now, you know, after the high inflation of the pandemic era and the fact that, you know, prices have increased so much already, businesses may pass on more of the tariff costs to consumers. Now, that said, it's still, in theory, a one-off price increase, right? But there may be more than just this one-off increase induced by tariffs. And that's what some argue is the bigger concern. What could happen if these tariffs keep getting introduced, keep being changed? There is the, as you just mentioned, the risk of retaliation or counter tariffs. With all this uncertainty around tariffs, it could make things more complicated because consumers, investors, they're going to have expectations of higher prices, higher inflation, so to say. And that's how, you know, some of this could become embedded at a time when inflation is kind of a major concern. By the way, the other thing to mention, like we talked about inflation, but there's also the potential impact on economic growth, like higher production costs and inefficiencies in supply chains could reduce investment and productivity as well. So it's potentially a double-edged sword.
It's interesting that you mentioned supply chains. Now, Abhishek mentioned earlier how globalized supply chains have become in recent years, and we all very clearly saw during the pandemic the worldwide impact on supply chains that event had. So, given the global trade implications of tariffs, how might supply chains be affected?
Well, tariffs are taxes on imported goods, and they kind of affect global trade by increasing the costs for imported products, and they change the competitive dynamics, right? So in essence, when tariffs rise, imported components become more expensive, and that may make companies reconsider their supply chain. So it could lead to some reshuffling. Firms might bring production home, or they might, you know, shift to aligned nations like the so-called friendshoring to mitigate future tariffs, so to say. These realignments, they have the potential to fragment global supply chains, and that can be costly. Like, it can make things less efficient, pushing up prices, acting as a drag on growth. You mentioned the pandemic. I think that's a very interesting case, right? Because that was a time when we really saw how fragile supply chains can be. So disruption in one link could really cascade through the network. A setback in one region quickly spiraled into global shortages and rising prices. And it really took quite a while to recover from that. So I think keeping the pandemic in mind, we should be aware that disturbances or disruptions of supply chains can play a role. And we should be aware that that there are risks in that. I'm not saying it will be as bad as the pandemic, but, you know, we're often talking about downside scenarios and risks. So I think it makes sense to keep in mind how fragile supply chains can be.
Not to keep bringing it back to the subject of inflation, but as I'm hearing you talk about these risks, I can't help but wonder, are investors concerned about the idea of structurally higher inflation going forward?
To talk about structurally higher inflation, let's take a step back and zoom out a little. So there are indeed several trends beyond tariffs that could lead to structurally higher inflation and rates, especially if you compare to what we've seen in the first two decades of this century. So there are demographic pressures, so aging populations and restriction on immigration could tighten labor markets, pushing up healthcare costs and wages. There is a fiscal policy component. Expensive fiscal spending could also fuel debt levels and put an upward pressure on rates. And then we have the topic of today's podcast with tariffs that could lead to higher production costs, deglobalization and trade wars that could lead to reshoring and with supply chain disruptions could also add to this structurally higher inflationary pressure. So my feeling is that in the bigger picture, I don't think tariffs are necessarily the primary driver of this, but I think they may contribute to it, especially depending how exactly it plays out.
Let's shift our focus a bit here if we can and talk about the relationship between tariffs and the US dollar, right? The US dollar, often seen as the preferred reserve currency of the world because of its stability, scale, liquidity. So what's happening with the dollar at the moment?
Exchange rates are not a straightforward topic to think about because you always have, you're always making the comparison between two countries. So it's a story of relative strength. After the US elections, the US dollar index has strengthened. And in the past few weeks, it has given back some of the gains. But I think putting it in a longer historical perspective, the dollar is relatively strong. Now, how would the tariffs impact the dollar? That's a very good question. So when does the dollar rally? It can be driven by interest rate differentials. So when US rates are higher compared to other economies, then that leads to capital inflows and a stronger dollar. Relative economic strength is a factor as well. If the US economy is stronger relative to others, it attracts more capital. Now, a third component is the safe haven status. So often in times of global uncertainty, foreign investors seek safety, for example, in US Treasury bonds, and the dollar will strengthen. And you mentioned already the global reserve currency status creates structural demand for the dollar. So these are, you know, a whole lot of factors that can influence how the dollar moves. And it leads to an interesting concept, sometimes referred to as the dollar smile. When things go really bad, for example, during the global financial crisis, the dollar appreciates. It's the safe haven effect. When things go really well and the US economy booms, the dollar appreciates as well. So you can really have very different economic environments going along with dollar appreciation. It's when the US is kind of struggling compared to economic peers that the dollar doesn't do so well. Now, back to your question, because I've been avoiding it until now. What happens in the case of, or what could happen in the case of tariffs? Well, we don't have a crystal ball, but let's apply some of these concepts. So first of all, tariffs are supposed to reduce imports. Narrowing trade deficit generally leads to a stronger dollar. We also have the inflationary effects that we talked about, rates being higher for longer, which especially if other regions cut rates would lead to dollar appreciation. And even if the tariffs kind of cause a growth drag in the US, because the tariffs may lead to inefficiencies, probably it's going to be less affected than its trading partners, especially since the US economy is relatively robust right now compared to other economies. So that also means, you know, relative economic strength of the US economy, a dollar appreciation. So because of these arguments, I could imagine, even though the dollar is relatively strong now, that tariffs would go along with dollar strength, maybe not a massive appreciation, but perhaps it won't depreciate going forward. But again, that's just one scenario I want to put forward, and things can go differently, as always.
Thomas, if I were to, let's say, ask you a question here, with trade, it seems like it could lead to higher inflation, which would eventually mean that the Fed has to keep rates higher for longer. And so the US dollar could potentially appreciate, as you were also outlining in one of your scenarios. So let's say if that were to happen, would it not make the exporting countries, for them, would it not make the US as a more attractive destination? Because, you know, suddenly their currencies are depreciating, and depreciation benefits exporters. So there's a bit of a cyclicality here, right? Like we're going in circles to some extent.
No, I know what you mean. So what you're saying is that the tariffs are supposed to make imports less attractive, but then if the dollar gets stronger, imports become again cheaper. That's a very fair point. And I think that's what makes this all so complicated. And there can be so many, side effects of what you're trying to do. But I agree with you. It's a very good point that it may make imports more attractive than perhaps they would want. That's also why President Trump has been advocating for a weaker dollar to also work on that trade deficit and to make the US more attractive as an exporter.
So I think we've now got a good understanding of the macro picture and the potential impact of tariffs on the overall global economy. So Abhishek, I'd like to now zoom in on the corporate landscape, and in particular, the impacts that these tariffs could have on global trade.
So these tariffs, they have the potential to really disrupt a very significant proportion of global commerce. We have the MSCI Economic Exposure Data, which essentially maps companies' revenues to their end markets. And using that, we analyzed corporate revenue streams that are linked to exports. What we found as of the end of last month, that just under 40% of global corporate revenues are earned in international markets, which is a staggering number if you look at it. We keep talking about deglobalization and how this world is getting more and more separated. But the corporate landscape still appears to be quite integrated, with 40% of the revenues earned in international markets. But out of this 40%, 18% could be at risk from proposed US tariffs and potential counter tariffs. And the impact is almost evenly split between non-US firms that are selling into the US and US firms that are selling internationally. Just to add a little more color in terms of, what is the proportion of global equity market capitalization that is actually getting impacted here? What we found was that about 32% of developed and emerging market countries across large, mid, and small cap segments are getting exposed to tariffs as a consequence.
Okay, those are some really big numbers for our listeners to get their head around. Can you break things down further then? Like, which are the countries and industries that might be impacted the most? Let's start there.
Yes, absolutely. So in US dollar terms, the top five countries that are exporting into the US are Japan, Germany, UK, China, and Canada. And so all of them could be significantly impacted by US-initiated tariffs. If you look at it from another angle, which is that how dependent is a country really on US revenues? Like, if they are deriving a significant proportion of their revenues from the US, then that makes them more and more reliant or dependent on the US economy. And so amongst those countries, the top-ranking ones are Canada, Switzerland, Netherlands, and Taiwan. From an industry perspective, there are some industries that are more exposed than others, but automobiles and components, capital goods with heavy machinery, energy, technology, hardware, they are all quite heavily affected. I do want to highlight an important point here, which is that while analyzing company revenues is crucial, it may not be enough, especially when tariff rates are going to be varying by countries. The location of a firm's production facilities, it adds another layer of risk. So just to give you an example, we know that there are many Japanese automakers that produce vehicles in Mexico. Now, if Mexico were to attract higher tariff, which under the current proposal seems to be the case, then the Japanese manufacturers in Mexico could disproportionately be impacted compared to those that are producing domestically in Japan. So what we really need is some sort of a granular view of corporate supply chains to fully understand the tariff exposure. And to address this, we combined the revenue exposure data that I just mentioned with insights from our geospatial intelligence data set. So what this data set really is that it has information on the physical assets that are owned and operated by public companies. And then we have a lot of information such as, you know, the geographic coordinates of those physical assets or what type of activities are being carried out in those facilities. Is it a manufacturing center? Is it a warehousing hub? And so on. So by layering these two data sets, one economic exposure, the second, the geospatial data, we identified firms that are selling into the US market, but they have their production footprint in countries like Canada, Mexico, or China, all of which, by the way, are subject to higher tariff rates under the proposal. And what we found was that there are roughly 400 firms, 400 non-US firms that meet this criteria. And interestingly, only 90 of them are actually of Canadian, Mexican, or Chinese origin. All the others are really international companies that are operating in these three countries. And guess what? What tops the list is really Japanese firms, because they export quite a lot of, you know, capital goods and automobiles while having production facilities in Mexico per se. And China, of course, comes in a close second with exports in tech hardware.
Abhishek, that's really interesting. I tend to focus always on the very high level macroeconomic and broad asset class moves, but it gets really interesting if you can go much more granular, even to the company level. I'm wondering, have you looked at, like, if you divide those companies into those more exposed, less exposed, have you looked at how they have fared since the elections, and if you can see whether, you know, investors are pricing some sort of tariff into the market prices as well?
Yeah, definitely. So before I answer your question, I do want to come back to your point about the macro and the micro impacts of tariffs, right? So you've been talking a lot about inflation and US dollar and how tariffs might actually impact these macroeconomic indicators. But then tariffs can also ripple through the economy and the corporate landscape in different ways. There are companies that are being exposed to these tariffs, and that could certainly alter the way these companies operate or, you know, what they do about their supply chains, the end markets that they want to sell into. So there's a whole lot of dynamic. And from an investor's standpoint, I think it's just crucial to understand the broader effects, but also how exactly are their portfolios exposed to these companies that are now facing this huge challenge of tariffs, and how might those companies actually adapt to these policy changes. So just coming back to your question, what we are seeing is that equity markets are definitely pricing in the impact of tariffs, at least based on certain industries that we examined. We found that the auto and the components stocks have diverged quite a bit surrounding the US election. So pre-US election and post-US elections. So what has happened is that the auto and components sub-industries, they have declined quite a lot in Europe, Japan, and Korea, where automakers are actually quite relying on the US market. So they have seen a decline. In contrast, you have the US auto stocks that have done fairly well since some of these announcements have been made. And once again, in contrast, you have China, where the impact on auto exports has not really been as significant, because you know what, China still has a very limited amount of auto exports to the US. So certainly you're seeing tariffs impacting global equity markets in different ways.
What has your research shown about what this might mean for US companies?
If the US trading partners were to retaliate with counter tariffs, then US firms are going to suffer as a consequence. Now, once again, what we do is that we use the revenue exposure data and we identify which firms are going to be most exposed. At an overall level, we found that US firms, they collectively derive a quarter of their revenues from international markets. And China is the largest end market for US goods, followed by the UK and Germany. Some of the sectors within the US that might be most immediately exposed is technology, hardware, media and entertainment, energy and capital goods. What we found was that the US megacaps, they have the highest revenue exposure to international markets, with nearly 50% of the revenues being generated from overseas sales. In contrast, the US firms outside of the mega cap segment, including the mid and the small caps, they have comparatively lower international exposure, which makes smaller firms less reliant on foreign markets.
But Abhishek, to adapt a phrase, if I may, one person's loss is another person's profit. Could that be the case here?
Yeah, so tariffs could create both winners and losers. If, let's say, US import taxes are prohibitive and they are there to stay, then that's going to impact companies' behaviors and, you know, how they might want to adapt, which could mean that they are now forced to sell into newer markets, or they're shifting their trade routes and they're forging new business partnerships, which can really be kind of an opportunistic scenario for some other countries. So certainly, you know, there are some companies that might stand to lose, but then there are others that might actually benefit from this.
I want to close with a question that compares the more traditional tariffs that are focused squarely on trade and articles around how some of the proposed tariffs coming from the US are being used as negotiating tactics, let's say. How important, if at all, is this distinction for investors?
So I think it's a matter of horizon. If you're concerned about short-term market moves, then I think what matters is what investors believe will happen, and prices may follow those expectations. So if everyone believes all these tariffs are going to happen and market prices are aligned with that belief, then, you know, in the short term, that's what you're going to see. In the longer term, if you really want to think through, okay, how is this going to impact the economy and longer term returns, then I think it matters whether an actual tariff will be implemented, for a long period, or whether it's just like a short-term story and then it will disappear.
I agree with what Thomas said here. I think this element of uncertainty is really coming from the fact that whether this is just a negotiating tactic or will it actually be implemented. If it is a negotiating tactic, it's something that we read in the headlines every day, and then that raises the pulse for some of the investors. It injects volatility in the market, and the investors actually need to do something about it. Eventually, those tariff proposals may not even be implemented, right? In which case, there'll be once again a repricing. But if this is going to be implemented and if it is going to, you know, be persistent, then I think it has a completely different meaning for companies and then the broader economy and then the equity markets.
That's all for this week. A huge thank you to our guests, Thomas Verbrocken and Abhishek Gupta, for sharing their insights and giving us some tools to help navigate these complex dynamics. As we've heard, tariffs aren't just about trade. They can have ripple effects when it comes to inflation, monetary policy, and investor portfolios. Understanding these connections will be crucial as we move further into 2025. And of course, as always, thank you to all of you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, leave a comment, tell your friends. Until next time, I'm your host, Adam Bass, and this is MSCI Perspective.